The Old Testament reading is written in 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is written in 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for midweek Lent 2 is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, which was just proclaimed from the lectern. Jesus did not want to be alone as he wrestled in prayer that night in the garden. How easy it is to forget that the Lord was truly and fully human. He needed the comfort of companionship, the encouragement that comes from loved ones. And so as Jesus leaves the larger group of his disciples behind, he takes with him his three closest, Peter, James, and John. He can no longer keep back the sorrow and the grief that is weighing him down, for he says, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Watch with me. What does he mean? What is watching but faith? What is faith but prayer? He keeps going a little farther, and he falls down and stretches out before his Father in prayer. Before the eyes of Jesus' soul that night was the cup. Now, in order to understand what the cup is, you must go back to the Old Testament. David was inspired to write of the cup in the Psalms. He was inspired to write this: "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." That means they will drink every last drop. Psalm 75, verse 8. Then Isaiah foretold of a time to come when the cup would pass from the people's drinking. In chapter 51 of Isaiah, it is written, "Thus says your Lord, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people, behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You, his people, shall drink no more." So the cup that was set before the Lord to empty down to the bitterest dregs was the cup that held the wrath of God. The wrath of God against all of the rebelliousness, all of the lovelessness, all of the passing of judgments upon others, all of the selfish acts, all of the indulging of the flesh, all of your spiritual apathy. It was set before Jesus and he saw it, and he knew exactly where it would lead. Jesus quotes from Zechariah, "I, that is the Lord, will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Make no mistake, the Lord receives his passion of the cross from the hand of his Father. But oh, how he struggled with it. He trembles and he begs the Father that, if possible, some other way may be found, some different approach for payment, something other than what is in the cup before him. He looks over the brim of the cup into its fathomless depths, and he sweats blood. man. Man, though, sins so casually. Oh, God will forgive. That's what is commonly said. He's loving and merciful and kind. It's really no big deal that I sin. I'm allowed to sin. God has already forgiven everyone, even if they don't believe it. Oh, how easily such an overstatement profanes God's truth and misleads man. Go with the Lord to Gethsemane and envision with your own eyes whether or not it is no big deal. Envision him as he shakes before the very portion that you naturally choose for yourselves time and time again. Envision him as he lifts his eyes from the cup to his Father and pleads for some other way. But then see the Savior make clear the radical and ultimate difference between himself and all of the other sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. See him lower his eyes to the cup again and say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It exhausted him. It terrorized him looking into that cup. And so he turns back to his friends, his beloved, for the comfort that they can give. But here comes another wound that would strike him. As he has struggled with the terrors of the cup of with the wrath of God that is in the cup, as he struggles with it for them, they have fallen asleep. "Peter," he cries, startling them awake, "could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." Weak. That is what your flesh is. That is what the flesh of all of mankind is. Jesus said it himself. And so man wounds the Lord in his apathy. You wound the Lord with your casual sinning. You add to the terrors of that cup that he must drink. Surely Jesus' words of warning will keep his disciples awake and in prayer. They're Jesus' words, aren't they? The most terrifying of events for those disciples are moments away. Surely they'll realize what's ahead of them. And they'll pray, right? But no, they're like the rest of mankind. They're weak. Jesus turns back again and goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and makes the same struggle in prayer. Then he returns for comfort from his friends and again encounters only apathy. They're sound asleep. They're weak. He is all alone in this, as only he should be. He turns back for his final prayer in the garden, and in saying his yes to the Father's will, the bloody sweat falls from him in great drops. He will do it. He will go forward to drink this cup. He will do so trusting that having swallowed the poison of all of sinful humanity and taking in himself the full penalty of man's disobedience, making full satisfaction, completing the unlimited atonement, He trusts that his father will not abandon him. Look into the face of the Lord as he rises from that final prayer. And what do you now see? You see peace. That peace came from his prayer. That peace came from his trust in the Father. To be overcome by the one who has loved you with an everlasting love means that in the end, there is no terror, but joy and peace, no matter how dark the path, no matter what the sin. That's what you will confess in the closing hymn. In that peace, Jesus, having that peace in himself, Jesus turns back to his disciples for the last time. Their apathy can wound him no more. He goes forth to swallow it down with all their sins and the sins of the whole world. So while they slept, he won the battle in the garden. And he won it all alone, just as he will on the cross as well. He goes forth to meet his betrayer, Judas, and he wakes up his disciples from their sleep to meet the terrors that are to come for them as well. And so the church, seeing Jesus march forth to meet this end in peace, the church, his body of believers, sings in astonished awe, "What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, and grant to me thy grace." As Jesus looked in mercy on the three disciples, so Jesus looks in mercy upon you. And by the struggle of his will to drink the cup and empty it for you, he reveals to you that he will never be apathetic about you. He who drained that cup to the dregs, he, the throne of grace, the mercy seat to which he desires all to flee for refuge, he alone can and should be counted on to save you and to see you into eternity. By grace, because of his merits, through faith. To him be the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and unto the ages to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.